All right, we're just going to have a little talk this morning about what they just sang about as far as the chains breaking in your life. Now, last week we spoke on John 3, pretty familiar passage of scripture to most of us, where Jesus said unquestionably that in order to get to heaven, you must be born again. Now, some people struggle with that because they don't want to be called born again. And that's all right, but you still have to be born again. And you can call it born anew, born afresh, born from above. You can call it any conversion, regeneration. I mean, there's a lot of names for it. But the bottom line is you were once dead in your sins, and now you are alive to God. And that act of being born again is an instantaneous supernatural act of God that takes place at a very precise moment in your life. It's not a progression. It is an instantaneous point in life. One moment you are dead in your sin, the next moment you are alive unto God. And one thing about our salvation is that we don't have to do anything for it except believe. And Jesus comes to us, God comes to us, the Spirit comes to us and says to us, do you believe? And he begins to open up our heart. And you and I, the only thing we can do for our salvation is say yes. And we have, and I believe, the free choice to say yes or no to our salvation. So That's all we have to do for our salvation and to receive eternal life is to say, yes, I receive Christ. Yes, I believe Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Yes, I believe I will follow him all the days of my life. Now, at the point of salvation, as I said, you got eternal life. You get the righteousness of Christ, what gets you into heaven. You get access to God. You get a lot in that little package. You get God literally taking up residency within you. God dwells in you. If you are a born-again Christian, which means you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, that means the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, seriously, are inside of you right now. And that's kind of incredible when you stop and think about it. The creator of the universe has taken up residency within you and within me through Jesus Christ. And that's pretty powerful. But what happens after we become converted? Do we just slide through this life? Do we just live life the way that we used to live life? I'm going to say this. And I will go on record for saying this. If you have been a born-again Christian for any period of time, there better be some changes taking place in your life. And they could be small. They could be large. I shared a little bit of my testimony. You can't compare yourself to me. It's according to how deep you were in sin. But it doesn't matter. There needs to be some changes taking place in your life when you come into contact with Jesus Christ. Think about it. God's living in you. That's got to cause some havoc in your daily life. So what's going on? From the point of salvation to the day you die, you're in a war zone. And this is a war zone you have to be involved in. This isn't sitting back and just letting God do everything. This is a war zone that you have to work at. Because what is God trying to do? What is the purpose of you being left here on earth right now? Well, there's two reasons. One, to reach other people. And the second one I want to talk about is in Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And that's not predestined to salvation. It says it right here. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So what happens is you come to Christ, you bring all your stuff to Christ. He gives you his righteousness. And from that point on, you begin a walk, a progression of looking more like Jesus Christ every day, every week, every month, and every year. And if you're not looking more like Christ, then you need to go back and check out what's going on. You need to search it out. You need to look at it. Conformed means to be in agreement with or harmony. That means I'm in agreement with looking more like Jesus every day of my life. Now, this isn't to be saved, and this is a very important part. This isn't to be saved. This is because we're saved. People get this so mixed up, and it's so simple. It's so easy when you look at it. We're saved by faith, an act of God, by his grace. Nothing we can do to earn that, to get that, to be a part of that. But the point of salvation, we begin, it's the beginning point of the progression of a sanctified life, which means I start taking a part and an action in doing it, not to be saved, not for God to love me more, not to get even closer to God in some respects, but in order to glorify God, I live a life that is pleasing to him. And every aspect of your life should be changed. Everything you do, everything you say, from your language down to your actions, to everything you do should be affected by the sanctifying spirit that dwells within you. Sanctification means I pull you out of the world and I set you aside for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are we being sanctified today? Sorry, but my throat's just dry all the time, and I need water. Really need Diet Coke, but I don't know if that. I think this stuff might be doing it. I don't know. Here's what happens. Christians, you know, we can live a victorious life. Most Christians don't. Just as they sang up here today, the chains can fall. And we're going to get to the other side. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get to the other side. I'm going to get to the other side. And God's going to say to us, you didn't need to go through that. I have given you victory over that. You had the victory all the time. You just never recognized it. You never walked in it, but you had the freedom. Nobody. This is a fact. Nobody should be bothered by anxiety. Now that's right, you know, you're looking at me like, you know, everybody's anxious. Yeah, they are, but we don't have to be. Anxiety is one of the biggest things that's on the map today of what people are going through, especially Christians. I get that all the time. I'm so anxious. I'm here to tell you, if one thing we know, the Bible says, don't be afraid, don't be anxious. So if God tells us not to be anxious, there's got to be a way not to be anxious. And there is. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through tough times. But you don't have to be anxious. You can have peace all the time. Now, I know that might sound foreign to some of you, but here's the choice. I believe my feelings. I believe my history. Or I believe the Word of God. Jesus constantly went around saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. So you don't have to be anxious. And there's other things that we suffer and we go through in this life that we isn't necessary to go through. But I'm going to share with you right now maybe one of the reasons why we do. It's in your hands. If you want to be free, you're free. Jesus said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So you are free. From whatever is bothering you right now, whatever you're struggling with right now, you have been set free from it. The only thing that we have to do, according to Romans, is recognize that we've been set free, to believe that we've been set free. When you believe that you've been set free, you're free. Here's what happens. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So what happens is, when you get saved, when you get born again, when you become a Christian, that spiritual life that was in you that was dead because of Adam's sin passed on through the whole genealogy of your life, now comes alive. And all of a sudden, when you're born again, all of a sudden you start recognizing God way more than you used to. He becomes a reality that he wasn't before. All of a sudden you want to know him. All of a sudden, you know, you got this desire to go to church. I remember all these things. All of a sudden you got the desire to pray. You want to know God. You want to love God. You want to love God's people. You start loving people and you start wondering what's going on. But as this spiritual man begins to grow, there's lurking another. And this that is within you is more powerful than the devil. It is what we call the carnal man, the fleshly nature, and it hates God. And it hates you praying, and it hates you reading the word, and it hates you going to church, and it does everything in its power to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And one of these two are going to win. They're going to fight it out. The King James says it, I think, a lot better. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in a battle within you. Paul brought it out so well in Romans. I'm going to cover it in my last class tonight. In Romans 7, where he says at the end of it, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. And here it is. This is you. This is me. We recognize this. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I know what I should do. I hear sermons all the time. I leave this building and I make up my mind. I need to change and I want to change. And I don't change. Paul struggled with this. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Paul saying, I don't want to sin, but I keep sinning. Can we relate? Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. There is a sinful nature in every one of us that's crying out, for its place of prominence in your life. And whoever wins the battle is going to be how strong you are in Christ. Do you really think God wants us beat up all the time? Do you really think God wants us in the condition we live in sometimes? Do you think the first church would have put up with some of the things that we put up with? Do you really think COVID would have stopped the first church? I believe we need to be wise. I believe we need to be masked. I need to be socially distanced, but we do not need to be afraid. Fear is never, ever, ever right in God's eyes. So sanctification is the process of allowing me to do what I should do and the process of allowing me to stop doing what I shouldn't do. At salvation, you started desiring God. Then there is this awareness of sin and the sin nature that lives in you that Paul said, and that's something that has to be dealt with. Do you ever notice when you miss a few weeks of like life group, it's easier to keep missing, or you miss a few weeks of church, or miss a few days of prayer, miss a few. See, that's because this guy's starting to win. And it's who you feed is who's going to win this battle. Now, Paul said in Romans 6, got a few scriptures here for you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Paul's saying it. That means it's possible. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. If you sin, it is your choice to sin, because God has given us the power to say no. You never have to sin again. You will. So will I, but it's by choice. Because God's given us the power to be totally free if we submit to his righteousness. That's the battlefield now. Now that these two natures are fighting in you, one says, I want to pray, and the other one tries to give you every reason why you shouldn't pray. You got to do this. You got to do that. Everything in its power. It just hates God. It hates everything about God. It hates you serving God. It hates you having any contact with God. It despises God. It says the carnal mind is an enemy of God. So everything that you want to do for God, you want to live for God, and it's trying everything in its power to keep you from doing what you should be doing for God. You know you should be reading the Word, but no, I don't want to read the Word. There's so many other things going on. I read the Word yesterday. I'll read it tomorrow. It tries to procrastinate. Everything else is going on. That's the battle in this fleshly, spiritual life that's going on. And it's in every area of our lives. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a gossip anymore. I'm not going to gossip. And then you find yourself gossiping. I remember when I smoked cigarettes when I first got saved. I remember it every day for 2 months. I'd throw that pack of cigarettes out and I'd vow I will never smoke another cigarette again. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd have two hanging out my mouth. It's the power of sin. But there's victory. There's victory. One of the battles, and I can't even say the word, and I'll get the flesh rising right now. One of the battles that you go through is your finances. Just saying that, the flesh rises up. I was going to bring that up. Yeah, you think that's a spirit? That's not the spirit. That's your flesh. You hate giving. You like keeping it all. That's that guy over here. I should have got one of them angel devil things to put on my shoulders for this sermon. Sean would have liked that. Yeah. yeah, I want to give more. I really do want to give more. I know he said to give more, and I want to be generous. I want to be. And all of a sudden, you get outside, and you get home, and all of a sudden, it's like the devil sits there, and your flesh sits there and says, no, you don't have to do that. It's all right. Everybody else is going to give. You don't have to worry about it. Take care of yourself. Love yourself. Be, you know, buy your stuff. Do this, do that, and all that other kind of stuff. It's the battle that goes on. And whatever battle the flesh wins, it pulls you down and brings you into an anxious life. There's only one victory. And if I could get people to do this, I've been serving God almost 50 years now. And I'm going to go on record saying this because I don't really want to, because I don't want to sound special. I have had an easy, great life. That doesn't mean I haven't had rough times. But I've had a great life. Because the day that I got saved and the week that I got saved, I bowed my knee. And I not only made him Savior, I made him Lord. And I went all in. And I'm all in today. And the problem is some of us have one foot in the door, one foot outside the door. And we try to appease God. We give him just enough to hope to keep him off our back. You want true victory in your life? It comes with surrender. All. And see, that's your choice. God's not going to take it from you. God's not going to force it out of you. The devil, he's the one that comes and takes by force. God doesn't take by force. He stands there and says, will you surrender your life to me? I've saved you. You're walking this life. Are you really willing to give it all? Well, what do you mean by all? I mean all. Everything. Lay it down on the altar. All. Holding nothing back. I'm telling you, when you empty yourself of yourself, you are going to find a joy and a peace to live this Christian life that you did not know existed. But when you fight against God, and you join this carnal nature fighting God, you're going to live an unsatisfied life. There's victory in Jesus today. Every addiction, everything. I want to read a couple more scriptures. Do you not know? Well, let me read Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I challenge you this very morning to present yourselves totally to God. Listen, when you're doing something that you know that it's wrong and you continue to do it, you are bringing. Romans 6 says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? You either obey sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. It's your choice this morning. Who's going to win the battle in you? Joshua said, as for me and my family, we're going to choose to serve the Lord. And I challenge you this morning to make up your mind for God. Some of you have been Christians for a long time and you got one foot in, one foot out. And you might not be doing bad things. But you're just not sold out. You hold on to stuff. choice is yours. I'm going to close with one more scripture, which I lost. Therefore, I'm not. I do what I do because I want us all to be better as Christians. I don't say this to bring any kind of authority and power over you. I want you to be better, and I know the way to be better. I've studied the scriptures. I've lived this for 50 years. I know what freedom is. As a matter of fact, I think I've won my last battle. When I fought for 25 years. In the last 3 months, I've lost 60 pounds. Yeah. And it's a shame when you lose 60 pounds and nobody notices. That says a lot. But I feel free from it. It's not grabbing at me. I prayed for that and prayed for that every day of my life since I gained it all. And I knew he'd set me free one day. You can be free this morning. Why don't we pray? Father, you're so good. And you want us to have a blessed life. You want us to prosper. You want our marriages to prosper. You want our finances to prosper, God. Not necessarily get rich, but you want us to be blessed, God. You want us to enjoy this life. And the only way we can really do that is by putting you first. And God, that's not easy because there's this thing Paul said that's dwelling in me that hates you, despises submitting to you, and it continually tries to rise up and go against you. Now, Lord, have your divine way. I pray everyone in here just totally Romans 12 ones it right now and totally submits to you, God. And submitting to you, we will find our victory. The chains will fall, God. Now, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.